live from the Findlay Toyota Studios, it's Cofield and Company on ESPN Las Vegas.
All right, here we go. Cofield and Company. Greg Salerno's in as the company. Cofield Griffin is here as well. Crowded show on the way. Some fight talks of WNBA towards the end of the hour with the legendary, I don't know how many Hall of Famers in a lot, we'll ask him. Al Bernstein, who used to be a staffer. I'm looking around. I'm like, where's all my stuff? Oh, I left the whole case outside. But Al Bernstein's coming up. Easily distracted, Greg. You are as well.
Yes.
Yeah. So what's going on, buddy?
I was actually distracted by you being distracted just now.
I know. You're going to have to get used to it. I'm doing 50,000 things. I know. It's really, really annoying. I often think back to this will be such a deep reference. You watch New York news or Philly news? More New York, right?
Yeah. Well, it depends. But, yeah, probably more Philly.
Legendary name years ago on NBC in New York was a lady named Sue Simmons.
Yeah.
And she flipped out one time. It's a great viral video where someone – she's doing one of those quick hit news updates for like a minute, not even maybe 45 seconds during a game or something.
Yeah.
And someone walks behind the cameras.
Oh, yeah.
And she's just like, what the F are you doing? But it was like – it was so much better. It was like, oh, my God, this one's going to kill me. Yeah, that's the level – you don't want that level of distraction. So we all got to – we got to concentrate. We got to concentrate. I got to mention weed here in less than 5 minutes.
Yeah.
Okay. And we're going to get to the Celtics and their 18th title in Boston. I don't want to do it because I know I'm going to get mad and I know I'm going to sound like a bitter J.O., but I have to do it. But before that, we did something on the air yesterday that I have to apologize for. It's not from management. We didn't offend anybody. But we were out of control in analyzing what happened last Thursday and Friday with Salerno against Q, which really wasn't a Salerno against Q, but we made it into that, which I'm all about. We're going to do that moving forward. I love that stuff. They were both around a first pitch, back-to-back nights at the Aviators game. And I picked you because I am Team Chubby Guy. And I thought this would be really interesting if you went out there. I knew you had a baseball background. And you are losing weight, but, you know, you're not the the pinnacle of fitness.
No.
Q is a more fit guy. And I was like, I think Greg's going to throw a better first pitch. And then I saw your first pitch briefly, and then I had something in my head that I described yesterday. But we both did it because we were – there's a video out this morning on ESPN Las Vegas. Both Adam Hill and I did the same thing because he had looked at Q Meyer's first pitch, and he made a misstatement about Q's. First of all, when you saw both first pitches – yours and Q's. What'd you think?
One, you said you didn't offend anybody, but you did. One person. That was me. But I would say, look, I'm already mad. I'm already pissed about the pitch anyway.
Because, pouring salt in the wound.
Yeah, I mean, it wasn't like I was going to come in here and be like, I did great. I mean, I did horrible. I was pissed about it already. I played baseball my whole life, so watching myself throw that pitch made me want to throw up, you know, just watching it over and over again. But you could tell I could throw a pitch. I mean, I'm throwing a motion where, like, it looks like I've thrown a pitch before. I didn't just go out there, stand there, and throw it over the plate. I mean, I actually tried to do, you know, a pitch. Now, granted, Q keeps himself in better shape than I do. We've already discussed that. So, and this is not an excuse because I already told Q, good job, and, you know, all this stuff. I'm not making an excuse here. I was trying to say I won. But I had no warm-ups, which, if you haven't thrown in a long time, I mean, I had like 9 scar tissues pop as soon as my arm was coming around. My shoulder felt like it came out of the socket. I mean, it takes me a few pitches to even be able to throw at all. You know what I mean? So going out there, I had nobody there with me. I didn't have an entourage with me, which apparently Q did. I didn't have, you know, anybody with me at all. First of all, I work for comp, so they didn't even know I was supposed to throw the pitch, of course. I get there, I'm not even on the list. I mean, so the whole thing, you know, by the time I got to throw the pitch.
I work for comp.
Yeah.
So you're not blaming it on the Aviators. The lack of organization would be from
your
comp end.
Yeah. I mean, this is my fault,
too. We all knew about it. How does no one over there know about it? Notify them.
I don't know.
Why am I making bets with this sort of chaos and disorganization?
That's what I'm
saying. Gee, damn it!
So I get there. By the time I throw the pitch, I mean, it's like 3 minutes before the pitch happens that I actually get on the field. No one there with me to warm it up again. Like I said, you know, I saw like 10 people there with Q tagging themselves in it and stuff like that. So apparently, you know.
You know what? It looked like there was a whole film crew with
Q. Yeah, exactly. So I didn't have anybody there to video
it. The warming up thing, that set me off.
Yeah.
I don't understand that.
Now, Q says,
you don't even have a chance to warm to throw a couple of pitches on
the
side?
Not at all. Not one time.
That's outrageous.
And I hadn't thrown in years. Now, again, I don't think Q did either, but Q keeps himself in a lot better shape. So that's my fault. I'm not saying it's Q's fault. I mean, you know, he keeps himself in better shape, and he probably had a looser arm. Or I don't know what the hell, but he was able to do it. Now, the strike thing is another thing that's getting me, because people keep saying, like, my pitch was so bad, you know, as a strike, and it was. Like, I should be able to, with my background, I should be able to throw a pitch right down the middle plate every single time.
You should be able to throw it to the mitt somewhere where
yes,
the catcher
exactly.
can get it. I think you threw it, what, short and to his right?
It wasn't short. It was to his right so far that he had to go get it, and that's why. But if it was, like, if it was on a straight line, it would have hit his mitt, but it wasn't. So the length, does that make sense, what I'm saying?
Yeah, it was bad.
Okay, it was bad. It was awful.
And it was a little long, yeah.
It was awful. But they're making it seem like Q's pitch was right down the middle. I mean, that would have been a strike for, like, Shaq or Yao Ming or something, maybe, or
I mean,
Slenderman.
Where
I mean,
Adam embellished was, he said that the catcher had to jump in the air. He didn't have to jump. He looked like a pretty tall guy, so he reached up pretty high.
Right.
Neither was on the mark.
Right.
But Q's was within range to catch.
Right. And, again, he made a better pitch than I did, but I'm just saying that if you – let me warm up for three pitches, I guarantee you I can throw a pitch down the middle. Now, that's what made me mad all weekend. That's what I'm sitting in my head thinking about.
Oh, you're assuming all weekend.
Oh, yeah. I was pissed because I'm a very competitive guy.
Good. Because if you weren't pissed, I would get more pissed.
Yeah.
I put my rep on the line.
Well, that's what I'm saying. I was mad that you lost, too. Like, if I had the bet.
I appreciate that.
If I had the bet to myself, I'd be mad. But I'm more mad that somebody else had faith in me and then I didn't give them, you know, what they deserved.
Yeah.
So
yeah.
It really made me mad. And, again, not Q's fault at all. He's in better shape, and he made a better pitch. But I'm just trying to say, you know, there's a lot of misinformation out there surrounding this event. And it has become a huge story, by the way.
Has it?
I think, you know, since LeBron's decision, I really don't think – I can't think of a better, bigger sports story that's happened. So
sure. I misrepresented how you threw the pitch. For some reason, I had in my head that you had done, like, a deep dip back and that you had turned from the target – and then you had to come through, and I was like, his head's not on the target. I broke it down all wrong. When I watched it, your delivery was actually pretty concise. It was more of a windup than him. He was kind of out of the stretch.
Right. Which, again.
Which is, that is smart.
That is smart, because he saw me throw my awful pitch already, yeah. And he's like, you know what? All you have to do is not be stupid and
he
throw
had a minimal
bad
leg
pitch.
Kick. He came right over the top.
Right.
I mean, I can see you can throw the ball, but I don't know when we get to do this again.
I know.
This could be something you're scarred with for life.
It might be. And it's something.
It's going to hurt.
And again, yeah.
It hurts me, and it hurts our staff, and it hurts this station.
Yes.
You are our athletic rep for however long now until we do something along these lines again. And
well,
you blew it.
I did suggest the home run derby, but nobody has taken me up on it yet. So we'll see what happens.
I feel like more organization just complicates things. Like, it actually helps that the Aviators kind of took a big part of this. But I do think it's funny that for Q, they sent out photo staff,
yeah.
Video. They had the whole thing up on
saying.
The website.
There's like there's five guys that work with us, like tweeting it, commenting on it. I'm like, how is there nobody knew who I was. They didn't even have my name in time, so my name was not even on the big screen because nobody knew I was going to be there. Like, the whole thing was ridiculous.
I mean, why don't we just do it? Who's in charge of this on CompSend?
I'm not blaming anybody because, you know what? We're kind of a self-run organization over there, and it's
you're self-run?
Well, I'm saying, like, each one of us does our own thing, and I mean, you know, I'm not going to blame anybody but myself because, you know, I could have handled it better myself and made sure it was all taken care of. So not blaming anybody else on Comp besides me. I'm just saying.
Go watch the video. It's up at Steve Cofield. I think it's retweeted at ESPN Las Vegas. It's up on my Facebook page as well. I mean, it is what it is. There's no turning back now, so maybe we'll do something like this again. But poor Greg. The Celtics win last night. And for this one, poor all of us?
Yeah.
I mean, let's go back to the beginning of the 20s. Is that what we call it now, or the 2000s? 20s? It's going to be 20.
Oh.
I mean, we do 2024, 2025.
Interesting. Yeah. I guess it would be the 20s. I don't know.
It's not the 2000s. That sounds stupid.
Yeah.
And it's not the 1920s. I mean, most people who were around then are, well, they're gone.
I think 1920s, but that's because I was born in the 1900s.
I'm going to go 2000s. 2001, these are world champions, Patriots. 2003, Patriots. 2004, Patriots. 2004, Red Sox. 2007, Red Sox. 2008, Celtics. 2011, Bruins. 2013, Red Sox. 2014, Patriots. 2016, Patriots. 2018, Patriots. 2018, Red Sox. 2024? I don't know what they want to call it. Is it 24 season? Celtics.
Mm.
I'm taking a lot of deep breaths. I don't like how I feel right now.
Yeah.
I don't know if I want to cry or storm out of the studio and go home for the day. But this is as bad as it gets.
It really is.
They are absolute miserable pukes in Boston.
Mm-hmm.
You New England fans here, I there's so many different filthy signs I want to give you. I might hurt my arms doing it. Up yours.
Right.
And you've got another championship now. This is absurd. I don't like you. And you are sort of a New York kind of Philly guy. So you're in the other part of that Northeast corridor. I am as well. I really have to contain myself for how much I dislike New England and Boston fans.
I would say them and the 49ers fans, for some reason, are like the worst crybaby fans I think I've ever seen in my life.
I mean, there are, I can name 10, 12 fan bases or cities that I don't like. It's Boston will never be supplanted because this part of my life.
Yeah.
I mean, this is like 25 years. How many effing championships can they win? There's other cities that don't get a freaking sniff of this.
I know. And ESPN is located in Bristol.
They are. It is very, you know, I don't know what the term is, bean towny.
Yeah.
I mean, what are we looking at? Are we looking at 12? Is that 16? I mean, you've got.
It's gross.
You've got idiots now who are like, I don't know, when do you really appreciate sports? Maybe as early as like 5, 6, 7 years old. You've got idiots who have had no drought. If they're 30 years old, like one of their area teams is always winning.
I know. It's ridiculous. I don't understand it either.
The biggest gap was the most recent gap. It was a 5-year drought, five and a half season drought.
I know. And they were in the finals anyway. They just happened to lose. They were up in the finals and lost to the Warriors, or else they would have had another one.
If you're 30 and you're a fan of these teams, all you do is win championships. And we're supposed to be happy for you?
Well, that's the difference between fan bases, too, because I understand it's very hypocritical of me as an Eagles fan to talk about fan bases, but we're usually mad at our own team and players. You know, it's different when there's a team that is just insufferable, you know, with other teams. I don't get it. And the narratives now are going to be ridiculous, too. Like, oh, you doubted this and you doubted that and this and that and blah, 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 and Tatum's this and, oh, boy.
And the worst part is they're such babies, too.
That's what I'm
Oftentimes
saying.
Oftentimes they can't even handle the needling. Did I ever tell you, I hit a bar in San Diego, Pacific Beach. I don't know when it was. Probably, let's say 2012, right?
Yeah.
And I'm wearing a T-shirt I got. I don't like the Giants either, but the Giants did us a solid, thank God, right? Beat them twice, otherwise they'd have more championships.
Sure.
For that area. But I have a T-shirt I bought that says 18-1. Simple, right?
Yeah.
Oh, my God. I walked up to a Patriots bar. It's, you know, Pacific Beach bar. I think it closed, so good.
Sure.
And the guy at the front door is like, are you serious? You want to walk in here with that? Like, ready to fight me. I'm like, how many championships can you win?
I know.
And you're still thin-skinned, baby?
Yeah.
Oh, yeah. The worst.
It is. It's insufferable.
And I know this is off-putting. I know this is of a sore loser or just a loser. I accept that.
Right.
Just the worst.
Well,
God.
Anybody that believes in karma, well, you can go ahead and change that because that's not real. Right?
No.
There's no way.
No.
Impossible that that
I don't. Don't be insulted by this. I don't believe there's a higher being. One area should not have this much good.
No. Especially an area.
Why are we being smited with this nonsense? Celtics win another championship in the 20s.
Yeah, if you've been to Boston and seen the roads, let me just say this. Their fans are like if potholes were people.
All right, we will break down what's going to happen from here because I'm not going to sit here and say they're not going to win more. I appreciate what they've done here, and there's a lot of people who deserve credit, but there's also a lot of organizations out there around the NBA. You screwed us, man, and we are calling you on the carpet. We want some text right now. This is for you guys. We do this for you. It's all for you, Las Vegas. We brought back the summer of fun. Along with Planet Nissan, we've got trips every week through the middle of August. It's a chance, courtesy of Planet Nissan, for a great escape. We've got awesome trips. You can also just take the cash. The trip this week is a 4-day, 3-night trip to Liverpool.
Wow.
Home of the Beatles. Very Beatles-centric trip. How cool is this? 364-1100. You don't have to call. You just text. It's easy. The code word for today. Every day you can enter each week, and there's a different code word. We will give you the code word on the press box or on Cofield and Company. Travel. I actually saw this misspelled on the text line this morning. Travel. Like a trip. Travel. I'm not mocking you, but I want you to get it right. T-R-A-V-E-L. Travel. And you'll be in for the Lotus Broadcasting Summer of Fun. A chance this week to win a trip to Liverpool. On the way back, the Celtics legacy and how really a lot of teams around the NBA, a lot of organizations just rolled out the red carpet and made it pretty easy for the Celtics to freaking load up to get this title.
Now, back to Cofield and Company on ESPN, Las Vegas.
All the sacrifice handling the enormous weight of massive expectations ends tonight here. It's over. Time to say it again, Boston. Anything's possible. Banner number 18 has been secured. The Celtics are NBA champions.
Call itself from Breen isn't painful enough. You got to do We Are the Champions with it. I just got to walk away from the mic. Because We Are the Champions is so good. You want to hear it when you feel good about a title, not when New England and Boston win a title. But Breen with a good call there. There were actually some people on social media that I saw who didn't understand the line about anything's possible. Do you know what that's reference to?
I have no idea either. Is it from the miracle team?
No, I should have grabbed the audio from the vast sound system we have here. Kevin Garnett yelled that when they won the title.
Oh, yeah.
Anything's possible.
That's right.
It was annoying back then, and it's annoying.
It really was. Especially when you have a super team.
That too. Yeah. You're the favorite. Anything is possible. Yeah. And when Garnett did it, it was like, I mean, good for him. He was in Minnesota for a long time, and they sucked, and they were never going to be good. So, but this is an organization that has generally been through lots of different management teams, and obviously they had a long-running management team headed up by Red Auerbach. The Lakers have been very smart over the years, and they've actually won more titles in our lifetime. A lot of the Celtics' success is in the 60s and early 70s, but the Celtics are – I mean, they have two of them. God, I keep going back to it. I get mad. Short of the Patriots, the Celtics are as well-run a management group as we've seen the last 25 years. You know why? Because generally, they're just smarter. And that's the tough part. When you look at teams that win lots of championships, and I know it's been a while for the Celtics, but they're just smarter.
Well, the
Boston
teams
stumble over themselves. I mean, the way they put this team together is you look back, you're like, how many freaking stupid moves did other teams make?
I know. Well, Boston in general is like that. Remember when the Red Sox finally won the World Series? They had, what's his face, that little boy that they hired as the GM. And
Theo.
Yeah, Theo Epstein, whatever his name was. And then now, then they go to the Patriots, had Belichick all those years. And then now they have Brad Stevens. And then before that, they had Ainge running. So it's like they're always doing something good. They're really annoying.
I mean, look at one track of what they did. And by the way, Lakers fans, and I know you know, but if you don't, this is a reminder. Celtics get number 18 before you do because of what you do. Because your management is really freaking shaky, right? Over the years, Celtics trade Kemba Walker for Al Horford, right? Well, 2021, I thought this was the dumbest thing ever. I don't know if you give credit for this one, but there were so many calls like, oh, if they're not going to win, they got to trade Jaylen Brown. That was back in 2021.
Yeah.
Someone gave him credit for that one. I'm like, I'm not going to go crazy over that one. Not being knee-jerk, but there are organizations that are knee-jerk, right? Oh, these guys can't coexist or, it's not working with the two of them. Traded Langford for Derek White. Derek White, he may not be the biggest star last night. He's not getting his tooth chipped. A lot of people were looking at Marcus Smart being traded like, hey, heartbeat of the team.
That's true.
They get Porzingis. They get some first-round picks. Then, of course, they you know, double down with Jaylen Brown, give him the big contract. He goes on to win the finals MVP. The Brogdon deal for Holiday, probably the final step, right?
Oh, this is so annoying, yeah.
And then do we give him credit? I mean, it happened through circumstances that eventually Brad Stevens gets kicked upstairs. Ime Udoka can't keep his wiener in his pants. And they get what looks like a pretty good coach.
They were killing Mazzulla, too. So.
And then here's the other thing that happens. Because while the Celtics, nice job, right? They build a team. Mm-hmm. They just outsmart people. And for everyone out there, when I reference how smart they are, go back in the history annals. If you know late 70s, early 80s basketball about how they put together Bird, Parrish, McHale, eventually DJ, Red Auerbach, there were so many stupid GMs and even lazier non-competitive owners that they were able to just pluck, picks and players from other teams, and they put together this magic team because they took advantage of stupidity. And look at the draft. Ugh. Look at the 16 and 17 drafts. When they
Sixers.
Get Jaylen Brown and Jason Tatum in back-to-back years, the Sixers had the number one pick in both years. And the Sixers came away with Ben Simmons.
And Chuck Knobloch.
Who just doesn't love basketball. And Markelle Fultz, who just went batty.
Yeah.
Right?
Man. Yeah, I don't even want to remember. Yeah, stupid and annoying. Even the Lakers.
Yep.
Will they take Ingram and Lonzo?
Lakers took Brandon Ingram and Lonzo, which...
They're not bad.
They weren't bad picks, but then they made bad trades when LeBron came around. Now, Lonzo hasn't played, so that's a hard one to judge. But Ingram's a really good player, but... When LeBron came in, he's like, we have to get AD. I don't want to have young guys around me. And then the other one, I'm a Nets fan. Not so much, since they bolted New Jersey, but, they're still part of this history. You remember when they made the deal, they basically bailed out the Celtics in desperation because the Russian owner's like, we got to win. So we're going to get a bunch of veterans.
Oh, yeah.
They took Garnett, Pierce, Terry. And the Celtics got five players, three first-round picks, a pick swap, and – the 16 pick became Jaylen Brown, and the 17 pick became Jason Tatum. So teams around them in the draft effed up and took the wrong guys, let the right guys fall in their lap, and the Nets set it all up with this stupid trade. And you know what? I will admit it. At the time, 2013, as a Nets fan, I was hungry to win. I'm like, we got this aggressive owner. Good deal. And I was told at the time, you're an idiot. You just traded a bunch of picks away for guys who are probably not going to win, and your salary cap is just obliterated. And all of those moves... Lakers, Sixers, Nets, and we have to mention the one this year. I read yesterday someone who covers the Bucks. Someone made a comment about the Bucks. Well, if they had known that Drew Holiday was going to be flipped from the Blazers to the Celtics, then they wouldn't have made the deal. Who thought the Blazers were going to keep Drew Holiday in a rebuild? Yeah. You had to know there was a risk, and immediately the teams that could get Drew Holiday, the two biggest candidates were... The Celtics and the Heat.
Yeah.
Your chief competition in the East. So, look at how this has come together. And Brad Stevens, he's smart. They got a good coach. Got players with, a good edge. They want to win. They're young. We might be screwed.
The only team I can kind of say, all right, they did well was the Lakers because at least they want a chip out of it. They did have the bubble, whatever you want to call it, chip. The rest of it is ridiculous. The Sixers. And, of course, even the one you're talking about, the Nets, even though it was a long time ago, that was a miss. The Heatles still were together, right, when that happened? So why would you think those players were going to be able to compete with the Heat anyway at the time? It seems silly. Why wouldn't you just wait until the Heat were dismantled and use your picks? But, yeah, and then the Sixers drafts have been horrendous. Embiid obviously is good, but I don't know. It really is sad. It's gross. It almost seems like collusion, even though it's not.
If you go back and read about how the Celtics put together Bird – and McHale and Parrish and DJ, yeah. And you're like, well, how did the league let this happen? This is so stupid.
It's gross.
But we are where we are.
Yeah.
Now, I don't want to overreact because I think I can build a case for other teams winning the championship next year, but as long – Tatum's going to get a big deal. Tatum and Brown are together.
Yeah.
At least 5 years. They're going to be a top four candidate to win a title for at least the next 5 years. So they'll probably get a second, and the path was all laid out by dumb picks by others and stupid trades.
I give you my sort of conspiracy theory, though. I don't think the Brown and Tatum thing's done as far as being miffed with each other or whatever. You know, there was a time when supposedly Tatum was okay with Brown being traded, and he found out supposedly, and they were not happy with each other and all this.
Come on, they got to be good now.
No, sure. But last night, did you see Tatum's face when they announced Jaylen Brown as the MVP?
I heard some boos. That was kind of interesting. Some in the crowd were like, maybe they had money on Tatum.
Maybe.
MVP at the
But Tatum's face was like, for one split second, you could see the real face, and then all of a sudden it was like a smile. Like, oh, yeah, this is great. You know, I'm so happy about this. Because he was really trying to win that MVP. And I'm not trying to, like, you know, be a conspiracy theorist, but I think that's going to come back at some point and rear its head.
Now back to Cofield and Company on ESPN Las Vegas.
So, some will say, especially after this season where the playoffs were a little bit weird and there was a pretty dominant force in the Celtics, win the title without having to go too deep in any series, that some will say the best part of the NBA is actually the next 3 weeks, the offseason, and what I guess we'll call a hot stove league for basketball in the middle of the summer. Rumors start flying. Hell, we had a case, what, years ago where they were like, stashing away. Was it DeAndre Jordan? The whole Mavs thing? I don't know. Like, he had signed, and the Clippers were trying to get him back, and they're like, secret location.
Oh, yeah, with the emojis.
Missed reports, and then Cuban's getting all mad at Chris Broussard. And,
yeah.
I mean, LeBron's not done yet in terms of a deal with the Lakers. Last night did begin the window where you can start negotiating with your own free agents. So we may get some breaking news on that front. And then free agency after that, and we'll see if anyone is able to build. I know people, they say they hate it, but what they really hate is parity. Fans will say they hate super teams. You're lying.
Yes.
Or you don't watch.
Correct.
And oftentimes, it's people who don't watch who are also like, back in my day, you had super teams as well.
Of course.
You're just an old, decrepit jackass who has chosen to glamorize your era. I just mentioned the Celtics of the 80s. It wasn't because of free agency. It was because the league was stupid and Red Auerbach ran roughshod over them. That was a super team.
Of course.
The Lakers putting together the roster they did and then constantly adding a nice free agent throughout the 80s, that was a super team. Dr. J and the Sixers are like, you know what? Man, Daryl Dawkins, pretty decent big. He and the combo of, you know, him and Jaminski. Eh, it's okay. You know what? Why don't we go get the guy who's 30 and 17? Yeah, we'll add Moses Malone. Super team.
Yes.
Super teams have always existed. So anyway, who's a candidate to put together a super team? And is one of those guys who can help someone become a super team, is it actually Klay Thompson?
I don't know. Nobody's talking about Klay Thompson. They're acting like the guy died or something. I mean, I think he can still play. I mean,
we saw over the weekend the drama began because he unfollowed the Warriors.
Silly. I don't understand that, by the way.
Yeah, what do you think of that?
Why do you have to unfollow the team? I follow lots of teams I don't play for. Guess what? I mean, I don't understand why you have to unfollow the team if you think you're going to leave.
Greg took down a 2020 picture of him in a cop remote. Yeah. Oh, my God. Exactly. He might be leaving.
I don't get it. I mean, why can't you follow, like, the Warriors and your new team, too? Like, is that not allowed to do? I see players follow each other all the time. That's the funniest thing.
Who is monitoring the stuff that knows every post that's up there, every follow? Because someone noticed a Clay Steph championship trophy picture had disappeared. What's going on here? What's Clay saying?
Is there apps for that? Because I can't tell. Like, I don't know. I can't even tell who follows me and who doesn't and whatever. I don't understand this. Like,
and then I ripped the whole thing, and I don't think I included it in the rundown. My headline on a certain note was, because I start reacting to the potential childishness of changing your social media, and I'm like, low character Klay Thompson. maybe there's no reason he did it or someone's wrong. I get too into it.
But don't you think that he could help a team out? I mean, he's not a bad player. People are acting like, look, I know he didn't end the season well. He had the 0 points in the game, blah, blah, blah. But he's not. I mean,
that's why I made the suggestion. I believe that if he joins the Lakers, it's going to have to be at a discounted rate or something's going to happen with, you know, LeBron's money or whatever.
Sure.
Or they're going to have to go way over the cap. They're a super team. You had a guy who's still might not be able to play defense like he could, but he's still 18 points, and I think he'll get his shooting back to where, you know, he's back at like 42% from three.
Sure.
Yeah, that could be a super. There's a lot of teams out there with a Klay Thompson who will have a big three.
And there's
even a 35-year-old Klay Thompson makes you a big three.
But then a lot of times, too, like, people never take injuries into account ever. Like,
he's still coming back from
it. Yeah, maybe he's just not 100% yet. And
torn ACL and an Achilles in back-to-back years.
Right.
Now, can you come back from that at 35 years old? Does it ever come back?
To shoot? Yeah. Sure.
Like I said, he's never going to be a premium defender anymore.
No.
It's probably not going to happen.
No.
No, I think he's one of the big stories. And plus, it'll be – that's another one of those, like, what are the Warriors going to do if they lose him? And I think it's going to be their decision. Then yeah. What happens to the Warriors? No. So, Klay Thompson is one of the biggest characters of this – free agent period beginning around the NBA. Up next, we're going to bring in Al Bernstein. Want to talk about this NBA title with the Celtics, also talk some WNBA, and we'll get his opinion on recent winners in boxing. There's been a lot of big names, and we'll find out from him who he's most excited about moving forward.
Now back to Cofield and Company on ESPN Las Vegas.
I wonder now that you've won the championship, how are you going to celebrate though, Joe?
Hey, guess what? I got to have knee surgery. I tore my meniscus in March after we lost to Atlanta. So the first thing I got to do is get back on the mats. But I'm going to be out a little while. So I've been working through it since March.
He's a crazy guy, isn't he, Joe Mazzulla? Just the glee, the happiness, the party attitude. Man, he's a baseline guy. I was reading he was walking around the arena after the game with his wife. Sounded like a cool moment, just kind of pointing out different things in the arena after they won the title. Maybe that's part of why he's such a great coach. Guys like that thrive in markets like Philly and Boston and New York, because I think they just let it all roll off instead of getting all emotional and being like a Bobby Valentine or just getting too crazy. Al Bernstein's covered sports for a long time. I won't say forever. That'll make him sound old. Boxing. We want to get into the WNBA. But you love basketball and you love the NBA and you're a bit of a historian with the NBA. I was just explaining how the Celtics really, if you don't like Boston, the Celtics organization is frustrating outside that region, man, because they have been awesome, Al, for 40 freaking years.
You know, that is are you correct about that? And it is interesting because, obviously I'm older than you guys, and I lived through beginning with the Russell era, right, where they won, like 9 championships in 10, 12 years or something like that. It was ridiculous. They won some of those. I was too young for some of those, and then they kept winning, and then they had the Collins era, and then they had the Bird era. So if you're not a Boston Celtics fan, it's like, oh, my God, you can't get away from it, But the underpinnings of that is that for the most part, with some exceptions, their organization has, even with changes, has continued to be a strong organization that can create a winner.
Yep. And now in the salary cap era and luxury tax era, if they need to pay $600 million in contracts combined, they're going to do it, and they're going to keep Tatum with Brown.
Yeah, that's right. Yeah, very good point. And if you keep those two together and you can fill in around them and, with the guys like Porzingis and whatever, you have a good chance to win. It doesn't mean you're going to, but, you certainly have a good chance. I mean, they're just a very excellent team. And this finals didn't produce the kind of matchup we wanted, because I think it was a foregone conclusion kind of that the Mavericks weren't going to get there. Had this been them against, for instance, Denver, it would have been, a tremendous matchup that would have, really captured the imagination, I think, of people.
Do you think the Celtics will win a few more over the next 5 years?
They might. Yeah, could easily, because they've got the two main guys. If they can keep Porzingis and keep him healthy, now it's just a matter of putting in the pieces around them, and they have some of those pieces, and they're not, other than Horford, who of course is older and he'll be going away at some point soon, other than him, some of the other pieces on that team are still younger players. So, you could certainly see where they have a chance.
Al, is there a risk, though, of making the team too top-heavy if they, they already gave Jalen the 300, they gave Tatum the 300, the way that they're constructed is more like the 2004 Pistons than it is like one of those, super teams that are top heavy. Will they be able to still fill out the roster if they do that?
That's a good question. And how well will you be able to do it? You mentioned that was a good analogy, actually. But I think yes. My impression would be yes. At least yes to keep them being in the conversation. And let's remember another thing. the East is easier to win than the West. Let's be honest.
Al Bernstein's with us. Keep going, Al.
It is. No, I'm just saying the East is easier to win than the West, so you got a better chance.
So winning a lot of titles, though, in a small period of time, that's why they're called dynasties, it's not that easy. And a lot of it's the focus and, you know, avoiding the distractions, which brings us to our hometown team. What do you see happening with the Aces right now coming out of the gates at 500?
You know, it's an interesting thing. Okay, obviously we know that without Chelsea Gray, that's a big, big piece of the puzzle. Now, they were over early in the season. They were able to kind of get past that when they were 5-2 at one point. Jackie Young was playing beyond great, right? She had some physical issues. I don't know what the nature of them were, but she just wasn't feeling good for three or four games. I think it wasn't like an injury. It was more physical issues. That slowed them down a little bit. And they've had a couple of close games that they could have won. And when you're at not 100% in this version of the WNBA, especially this year's version of the WNBA, you're going to be facing more teams that can beat you. The level of the league this year, even this year compared to last year, has risen dramatically. And so when you play, a Storm or a Mercury or whoever that may not be at the absolute top, you're not just in danger when you're playing the Liberty or the Sun. You're in danger when you're playing some of these other teams. And that's why they're a 500 team. They're missing an important piece. They didn't have the deepest bench ever. This year's bench is a little better. They got Hayes, Kate Martin, who I will take credit for predicting she was going to be good with the Aces. I'm not often right about things, but I was right about that. But I think the bench is better now, but that bench wasn't prepared for the idea that everybody else is getting better and Chelsea Gray wasn't around. Do I think they're going to stay at 500? No. When Gray comes back and with the experience that everyone's gaining, they will still improve their record dramatically. And they are not at all out of the championship conversation.
Al Bernstein's with us. We're talking a little WNBA. Al has always been a champion of the sport, and that includes when we didn't have a team here. So give me your take on the – we don't have to get into all the – another time we'll get into the Clark drama, but just the increased viewership, the numbers coming in are incredible.
Yeah, I think – look, I think a couple of factors, right? Of course, number one, Caitlin Clark coming there, filling up arenas. Number two, all this controversy somehow, I guess, you know, even though at this point I want to kill myself every time I see a story, but nonetheless, it probably has impacted positively the viewership and all the rest of it. And secondly, what's happened is, you know what it's like? It's like sometimes we get exposed to something in entertainment that we didn't know about, some band or some show or movie, or let's say a series of movies. And once we're exposed to it, we say, this is kind of fun, right? I think that's what's happened here. People have been exposed to these games. Most of the games have been very competitive, a lot of them this year. The level of play is better. And so people have gotten rooting interests, right? It's like college football. When you get involved in college football, I find myself rooting for a bunch of different teams that just capture my fancy, right?
Al Bernstein's with us. Al, how many Hall of Fames are you in?
You know who kids me all the time about that is John Katzlamides, right? The columnist for the Review Journal, who jokes with me about it. I'm going to say, I believe we're in double digits.
What?
If I'm counting everything.
Wow.
We're about 10 or 11, I think.
All right. I think Tony Bonici is in a bunch. I don't know if it's 10 or 11. Jesse Leeds and Tony went into the Southern Nevada Sports Hall of Fame last week.
Boy, I am so, so happy for them. That Hall of Fame is a wonderful, wonderful thing to be in because it really honors a very eclectic group of people here in Nevada. And Tony and Jesse, the guiding forces of ESPN Sports Radio, are wonderful guys. And I have said this many times. I've told you this and I've said it publicly. I've been involved with at least three or four or five TV networks. I've been involved with radio networks. I've been involved with a lot of different organizations. I have never had a better time or had more fun than the time I was associated with them and with Lotus Broadcasting. And they are a big reason for that. They created an amazing atmosphere, and both those guys deserve that honor.
We got to close on a boxing note, and there's actually a lot of notes in here. I just wonder, with recent winners, Al, we'll even go as far down as Benavidez, a light heavyweight, but Usyk, Ryan Garcia, Tank Davis, and Inoue, who's the boxer or two that's kind of on the top of your mind for the rest of 2024?
Oh, yeah, that's an interesting question. For the rest of this year, I think it might be Davis a little bit, okay, because there's a possibility he's going to fight Lomachenko, and that would be very big. Ryan Garcia is a sideshow to me, and whether he gets a big fight or not remains to be seen. Usyk is going to fight Fury, of course, so he remains a major figure in it. And everybody wants Benavidez to fight Canelo, but Canelo just isn't cooperating. So I don't know if he'll be top of mind for the rest of this year, though I think he might be, only because he'll be chasing Canelo, and when he does fight, people will be interested to see how he does.
Talking to Al Bernstein. Al, I wanted to ask you a general question about boxing, because I grew up with boxing when boxing was like one of the major sports, and everybody knew who the heavyweight champion is at all times, sure, and it was just huge. What do you think? Do you think it's a socio-economical thing, like where people just don't want to get beat up anymore? The pool's smaller? Like, what is it about boxing where it's not the event that it used to be?
Hey, Al, we got about 40 left, Al, 40 seconds.
Yeah, it became a more of a niche sport after the end of the 90s, when the media didn't cover the sport as much, and it wasn't on, and I hate to say it because I was a part of this, it was on premium channels where not everybody could see it. So its lack of availability to people like it was in the 80s and 90s, and then the fact that it just didn't get covered. And then it has made a mini comeback in the last 6 or 7 years because it's been covered more, and ESPN took a bigger interest in the sport. And so it's been more top of mind for a larger group. It's still a niche sport, but somebody once said something that I think I agree with. Literally every sport other than the NFL is a niche sport in some way. It's just a question of how big your niche is.
Al, we appreciate it. We push it right up against the edge here. Thank you so much for your time. We got to hook up soon and talk some more WNBA, okay?
All right, take care, guys.
There he is, Hall of Famer in like 12 different Hall of Fames. Al Bernstein, legendary boxing broadcaster, big champ of women's basketball as well.